Fifth iteration. Flaws in the system will now become severe. Ian Malcolm. Search. Gennaro sat in the jeep and listened to the buzzing of the flies and stared at the distant palm trees wavering in the heat. He was astonished by what looked like a battleground. The grass was trampled flat for 100 yards in every direction. One big palm tree was uprooted from the ground. There were great washes of blood in the grass and on the rocky outcropping to their right. Sitting beside him, Muldoon said, "No doubt about it. Rexy's been among the hadrosaurs." He took another drink of whiskey and capped the bottle. "Damn lot of flies," he said. They waited and watched. Gennaro drummed his fingers on the dashboard. "What are we waiting for?" Muldoon didn't answer immediately. "The Rex is out there somewhere," he said, squinting at the landscape in the morning sun, "and we don't have any weapons worth a damn."
"We're in a jeep."
"Oh, we can outrun the jeep, Mr. Gennaro," Muldoon said, shaking his head. "Once we leave this road and go on to open terrain, the best we can do in a four-wheel drive is 30-40 miles an hour. He'll run us right down, no problem for him." Muldoon sighed. "But I don't see much moving out there now." "You ready to live dangerously?"
"Sure,"
Gennaro said. Muldoon started the engine, and at the sudden sound, two small Othnelians leapt up from the matted grass directly ahead. Muldoon put the car in gear. He drove in a wide circle around the trampled site, and then moved inward, driving in decreasing concentric circles until he finally came to the place in the field where the little Othnelians had been. Then he got out and walked forward in the grass away from the jeep. He stopped as a dense cloud of flies lifted into the air.
"What is it?"
Gennaro called.
"Bring the radio," Muldoon said.
Gennaro climbed out of the jeep and hurried forward. Even from a distance, he could smell the sour-sweet odor of early decay. He saw a dark shape in the grass, crusted with blood, legs askew.
"Young hadrosaur," Muldoon said, staring down at the carcass. "The whole herd stampeded, and the young one got separated, and the T-Rex brought it down."
"How do you know?" Gennaro said. The flesh was ragged from many bites.
"You can tell from the excreta," Muldoon said. "See those chalky white bits there in the grass? That's hadrospore. Uric acid makes it white. But you look there," he pointed to a large mound rising knee-high in the grass, "that's tyrannosaur spore."
"How do you know the tyrannosaur didn't come later?"
"The bite pattern," Muldoon said. "See those little ones there?" He pointed along the belly. "Those are from the Othis. Those bites haven't bled. They're post-mortem from scavengers. Othis did that. But the hadro was brought down by a bite on the neck. You see the big slash there, above the shoulder blades? That's the T-Rex, no question."
Gennaro bent over the carcass, staring at the awkward, trampled limbs with a sense of unreality. Beside him, Muldoon flicked on his radio.
"Control."
"Yes," John Arnold said over the radio. "We got another hadro dead, juvenile."
Muldoon bent down among the flies and checked the skin on the sole of the right foot. A number was tattooed there.
"Specimen is number HD-09.
The radio crackled.
"I've got something for you," Arnold said.
"Oh, what's that?"
"I found Nedry,"